Western Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Most.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Fine. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, finally, the weather nice enough to play golf, which was nice. So.
And did you?
I did. I played yesterday with Brother Brad, so we had a fun time.
I understand you and the brothers will be making a trip this week.
Yes, hopefully, with all the Southwest flights being canceled, but hopefully we will. We're going to get down to Pinehurst and play golf for, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Doc likes his brothers, and his brothers like Doc more than most families do. They're a delightful family, and I am. Doc will back me up on this, I hope. I am the unofficial most brother.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are honorary.
I have honorary most brother status.
Yes.
Do you hyphenate,
yes,
or are you just Cochran space most?
Oh, they're not giving me a name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, they're giving me names, but none that could be said here.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I hope you have a great trip. All right, so listen, this Danny Farquhar story is horrible. This is a professional athlete and a kid with 3 kids of his own. I say kid because I'm old, but he has this aneurysm in his brain. So why don't we start with this? What's an aneurysm?
Right. So in simple terms, if you think about our circulatory system, we have veins and arteries. Arteries take the blood from the heart and bring it out to the body under a lot of high pressure. That's why we have blood pressure to allow it to pump out. Veins then return it. The artery is a pretty thick-walled tube, but unfortunately, some people have a defect in that tube where it thins a little bit. And unfortunately for Danny, this happened to be in his brain. And as the pressure continues, that defect continues to like balloon out, essentially, and the wall thins to a point where eventually the wall is so thin that it can't handle the pressure of the heart beating and it bursts.
All right. So visually, if we picture this, the balloon piece is the important part of the visual to me. Is it looks like a normal artery that we think we know what it looks like. It looks like a hose with a bubble in it.
Correct. That's exactly it. That's exactly the visualization of this.
All right. So he has this happen on Friday night. He appeared to be upright and walking, and then he wasn't. Is that because the bleeding gets to a point where the brain starts to shut everything down?
Yeah, when it happens on a dime. So when he went down, I think he had some vomiting, and when he went down, that's when it occurred. And you know, fortunately, he was in a situation and a position that many others who have this condition aren't. He had paramedics there who could, you know, great healthcare workers that could evaluate him quickly. He had an ambulance waiting for him right there. And he had Rush University, one of the top neuro hospitals in the country, you know, not too far away. So he just had as far as timing and, you know, our thoughts and prayers are out to him, but he has the best chance of most people who had this happen.
Can you call this a stroke? Is that a definition of a stroke?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's 2 types of strokes. We have strokes that are called thrombotic or embolic, where there's a blockage in the artery so that blood can't go to the brain. And then there's this one, which is called a hemorrhagic, where the blood vessel bursts and we bleed into the brain. So those are the 2 types of strokes. 90% of strokes are the type where there's a blockage. There's only 10% of these strokes.
And unfortunately, he's in the 10.
Yep.
All right. So this is the scary part. There's no symptoms that lead up to this?
No. You know, very few people have symptoms. Some people might have a slight headache and then go to see the doctor. Some people might have some blurred vision and go see the doctor. But even that, the test that needs to be done is essentially an angiogram of the brain. And if you're fortunate enough to have a situation where we do see it, there are different ways to treat it. But for the vast majority of these, there's not. For the bleeding ones. The other ones, you probably remember we've talked a lot about TIAs or mini strokes. Those are the signs that a bigger stroke may be coming on from the blockage side, not the bleeding side.
All right. Well, Andre and Dave have questions for you. We'll come back and do those in a second. Yep. Talking about Danny Farquhar, the Sox pitcher, with Dr. Kevin Most. Suffered an aneurysm that bursts and suffers a stroke and is fighting for his life. And we'll keep you up to date throughout the day with that. But Andre and Dave, jump in here.
Doc, I'm curious, can this happen to anyone? I mean, are any of us at risk for something like this happening? Or is this a, you, do you have a predisposition to this? Or is it hereditary?
Yeah, Andrea, the unfortunate thing is that there, some of these are congenital. And this one, if I was guessing, I would say this is congenital, because the other people who have a predisposition to this are people with chronic high blood pressure, where they're just putting so much pressure on these arteries that it's going to find a weakened point eventually. That usually happens in people well into their 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, he is 31 years old. This was probably a congenital thing that he had his entire life and never knew it.
And there's just no way to stop that. I mean, it was going to happen.
Correct. Like I said, the only way to stop it is to get lucky and have symptoms where a test is done where they find that you have one. And then when they do that, now we have technology where we actually go into the brain and we fill that little pouching with metal coils so that stops the blood flow and stops the pressure up against that wall to prevent that from bursting.
That's incredible.
But yeah, it's actually amazing what they can do right now.
Is there any evidence, Doc, that physical stress could bring it on more quickly? And he had just pitched in the game. I think people have always wondered, you know, if you lift something really heavy and you were predisposed to it, could that trigger it?
You hit it right on the head there, Dave. That's exactly what happens is we get to a point where the wall is thin enough, and now we increase the pressure for some reason, whether it's physical activity, like you said, lifting something, whether it's just bad high blood pressure. But usually it's going to be that time where the wall is fine, and now all of a sudden we put more stress on it with increased blood pressure for any reason, whether it's physical activity or just bad high blood pressure, and it will burst. But certainly, some of the physical activity we do, our blood pressure definitely goes higher.
A listener called about a triple A and abdominal aneurysm. Is that different?
Yes. Well, that's in the stomach instead. So our aorta, actually, not only do we get, you know, send blood to our brain, but we send it to the rest of our body as well. So in the aorta, we have aneurysms as well, and those can get to be quite large. Those are often, I shouldn't say often, but sometimes they're found prior to it rupturing because people have back pain, they have a tearing sensation, they have abdominal pain. We go in and we do a CAT scan and we see that that one's occurring. And sometimes those can be treated with stent grafts and other things. But those, if they rupture, that's obviously a bigger blood vessel, and those can be devastating.
The only thing we can warn listeners about with this is what? Don't ignore symptoms and the light that goes off inside you that says, I may have a problem here?
Yeah. You got to remember, we have 800,000 strokes a year. 90% of those are the embolic ischemic strokes. Those are the ones we talked about with TIAs. And those are the ones where we have this golden hours of opportunity to treat those. So it really is. It's more about awareness. And we've talked in the past, the acronym FAST, the acronym FASTER, very simple things. And if you notice them, this isn't something, well, let's put grandma to bed and let's see, you know, if her weakness gets better tomorrow. No, this is get into the hospital. And we'll just go over those quickly. It's F. It's facial drooping. Ask the person to smile. If one side of their face doesn't go up, then definitely get in. Some people say, well, wait, I had Bell's palsy, and that's it. That's true. It can happen with Bell's palsy, but you don't want to risk that it's something as simple as that. A is for arm weakness or asymmetric weakness. Do you see a difference in their arm strength? S can either be for speech or for stability. Are they dizzy? Are they walking? Do they have difficulty walking or difficulty with their coordination? T is for talking or time, depending on whether you use faster. Do they have slurred speech or do they have inability to talk or communicate with you? E is eyes. Do they have difficulty seeing or blurred vision? And probably the most important one is R or T is react. Call 911 immediately. Get that individual in.
Dave?
The procedure that was performed on Danny Farquhar to relieve swelling on the brain,
yep.
Is that generally used in this kind of a situation?
Yeah. So you got to remember the brain is, you know, held into the skull. So anytime we have additional pressure that's put on that, that has nowhere to go, and you don't want it to go down because then it causes the brain to essentially move. So they could have done a couple things. They may have put a tube in to decrease some of the cerebral spinal fluid, so a drain essentially that's taking some of this excess fluid that's not needed, and they actually may even have removed a portion of his skull to allow some of the swelling. Right now, what you want to do is get that swelling to come back down and get the brain back to its normal size. So what they're doing is absolutely textbook of let's make sure that the swelling does not cause any further problems.
Both CDH and Rush have tremendous stroke centers. Are there hospitals on board in developing theirs?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we CDH, you know, Northwestern CDH and Rush have a couple unique things. You know, we have mobile stroke units. So we have essentially ambulances with CTs in them that go to homes where people are thinking that they're having a stroke, which has allowed us to decrease the amount of time that the clot-busting drug is started. And then also, if it's a bleed in this case, we have the OR team ready by the time the patient gets here. So it's all about decreasing that time. There are a lot of great stroke centers, and as we start to see more and more strokes, you're starting to see more hospitals get advanced. We're very fortunate to have very talented doctors both here downtown. Rush has great doctors as well that can go in and do those coilings into the brain. So you're starting to see more and more of it, but people in Chicago should feel very blessed that they have the assets that they do for stroke care.
630, great topic with Dr. Most. I had a mini stroke in June of 2017. I've fully recovered. My older brother had a massive stroke in 2016 and is disabled. So there is family lineage to this stuff.
Yes, a lot of it is family lineage, and a lot of it is lifestyle as well. You know, again, strokes to the brain are kind of like strokes to the heart. So, you know, heart attacks. So, you know, good diet, keeping your blood pressure under control, doing all those things. So about 80% of strokes actually are, I would say, preventable with lifestyle changes and just acting right.
Do we all have aneurysms throughout our body and we're just lucky they don't go?
Yeah, probably are. We probably have little mini aneurysms in many places because you can't have complete uniformity of your artery system the entire way. But people that keep their blood pressure under control, it's never going to put the stress on that that's going to make it increase in size. So it's going to be totally asymptomatic. But there's probably a lot more aneurysms out there that we don't even know about.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. Thanks for all this. By the way, a lot of people are asking, and I don't mock the question, is he going to play baseball again? He's got the number one concern here is he going to live?
Yep.
Keep this young man alive, and then we'll deal with all that after. But the question is obvious because of who he is.
Yeah, and really, you know, all our thoughts and all our prayers should be going out to Tim and his family. I mean, that's he's in a tough place right now, but, you know, you take a strong athlete like this and someone who can fight, and hopefully his rehab will go fine.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Enjoy your week.